Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, we're in for a long one. A long weekend, that is. And you deserve to spend it on the couch with a glass of something good. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered quickly. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
What up, y'all? I'm DJ Super Soap.
And I'm Lil Blaster. And we're bringing you amazing happenings for the super dope
10th annual Kickspin Underground Rock Festival.
You want fans? Your ears will bleed. We've got Rat Balls, Slit, Thurder Sex, DJ Doosgrub, Mrs. Potato Dick, and more.
This most underground festival ever. No water bottles, no protection from the sun, and absolutely no porta-johns.
We didn't sell out and get you a bunch of porta-johns, yo.
You want bathrooms? Oh, we've got bathrooms. They're called your pants.
Gonna clear the bank. I'll show you how it's Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the festive Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, and as you appropriately said, I am quite festive. Mm-hmm. Really excited for today's episode.
What's the theme?
We're going to be talking about festivals. It's that time of year, summertime, when basically anything from your local bands playing outside a street dance or something like that, all the way up to gigantic three-day monstrosities like Rocklahoma and those kind of things. So we're going to cover all of it.
Correct. And why don't you do a quick recap of it? You've already done a few, and we'll go into Northern Invasion in detail soon, but give me a lineup of, because I know there's the one that are the more, you know, newer bands, and then there's the, I forget the name of the one, too, that's coming to your town that has more of the older acts, too, that's there once a year. So why don't you kind of break down your itinerary, where we're going to use our music from.
Certainly. Well, it started for me this season, this year, whatever you want to call it, festival season 2016. Yep. With Northern Invasion, which they expanded to 2 days this year over in Somerset, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Next week, I'm heading back to Wisconsin, much to my chagrin, for a three-day monstrosity of heavy metal called Rock USA Oshkosh. There is a Warp Tour I'm supposed to go to at the end of the month. I'm trying to get out of that
one. Every year you do, but you go.
Yeah. And at the end of the summer is a thing called Grand Rock Timber, which is... Oh, I think Striper is going to be there this year. Vince Neil, whatever Bobby Blotzer calls his current group of touring musicians, and that's a 2 day thing. It's kind of fun, a little more laid back. That's more for the old timers of us. So,
yeah, and just to go into that, just a quick Bobby Blotzer comment. I you know how things are quote news now on Blabbermouth. They'll say, "Hey, somebody played a show, and here's some clown on YouTube, you know, that had a camera there and filmed 19 of the songs. So here they are." And I looked at one of them, and it turns out I think what Bobby Blotzer does every show is he walks out and validates the fact that it's still Rat, because he did like a speech for like 5 minutes saying, "You see, we sound good. This is still Rat."
I am now looking more forward to
it. Like he does. So just know that at one point he does a bit, so enjoy it. He'll come out to show that he, you know, the only member left comes out and talks to the audience for 5 minutes, and people throw tomatoes at him. He goes back behind his kit.
I'll make sure I'm filming.
Please do. I look forward to it. But yeah, so I am in Denver now, as I've mentioned. I'm in the official new studio that I did a complete and extreme makeover for.
It looks beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds great.
Well, thank you. No more echo, no more, hopefully no more children coming in as much, because I am in a basement where I have many doors to seal me off from the family. They have more obstacles to get through. And that's kind of like your setup too, correct?
Yeah, I'm in a basement. Our kids are gone though.
Yes, so. I know. You're in a much better situation.
I wouldn't say that.
I sometimes say children is like an 18-year-long practical joke that you're... your parents put on you.
Then it's more like 22.
22? Oh, yes. They stay a little bit longer, you say?
Yeah, you know, whatever. Yes.
But anyway, going back to the show, I am, like I just mentioned, I'm in Denver. I was in South Florida, for you listeners who have heard the past episodes. So
I hear there are fewer Eddie Trunk sightings in Colorado.
That's right. He does not. Yes, that, if you hear past episodes, Eddie Trunk is at every concert, emceeing it and opening it up. So I don't think he'll be out here as much. I think he has a timeshare down there in Florida. But regardless, I've escaped that. And
I hope it's a timeshare.
Yes, that he got tricked into that, but as well. But you know,
got free tickets to Disney World.
That's right, for a 3-hour presentation. And anyway, so I think you summarized it best for me getting out here, and that was that I was so excited to be here that I had to go see, you know, a show. There's so many cool venues, everything from obviously small clubs that are, you know, legendary out here, plus Red Rocks. But what was the first concert that I went to?
Well, it was the Hell's Bells thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
So how did you summarize how happy I was to be out here, in a way, to go to that concert?
I don't recall specifically, but I was just, you know, clearly if you're going out to see something like that, you went by yourself, correct?
Yeah, I didn't even, I basically, we put the kids to bed. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I don't really know.
Fucking leave it.
No, but yeah, I don't know anybody really out here yet. So I just said, fuck it. And what you did say is you go, to put it mildly, you're so excited that you're thrilled on paying $28 to go see a female AC/DC tribute band, correct?
Yeah. And by the way, I am very happy for you. That kind of excitement is contagious. You know, we've talked now for about a year just doing this show. I've gotten to feel your frustration. So it's nice that you're somewhere with a little more opportunities.
Oh my God, it's great. Everything's a 10-minute Uber ride if you want, you know, play it safe and everything like that. And mm-hmm. it's spectacular. I've never lived in an environment like this. But yeah, so the first show I go to, which could be a train wreck, but I've actually seen them, I think, at Rock in the Range a couple of years ago. But, you know, Hell's Bells, all female AC/DC tribute band. And I heard them before, but they only played like a 5 or 6 song set at the Rock on the Range is a warm-up gig. And obviously in that situation, they're going to play all, you know, Back in Black. They're going to play Shook Me Up.
Any chance that was also like on the first night?
Yes, it was. Correct.
Like by, and there's a bonfire or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's it's like the warm-up gig. But, you know, so I was like, I'll go check them out. And man, they absolutely killed it. I mean, I was there. I basically smiled for 90 minutes, but they were playing more deep. I was just thrilled, you know, I could go see actual rock, even though it was a cover band. And so I'm at the show, and they started playing, after the second song, they started playing some deeper tracks like If You Want Blood, You Got It. They started playing, you know, cool. Sin City, which isn't that deep of a track. But
yeah, I was about to ask you, what constitutes a deep track for them? Because honestly, I think AC/DC can play 20 songs of my choosing, and there'd be probably another 10 to 15 I wish they played.
Yeah, I guess.
But I think...
You know,
If You Want Blood's a good one. Sin City, kind of.
Yeah, I know. But basically, I could tell that I think a deep track is when you look around and half the people don't know what the hell they're listening to. Okay. So, you know, you got your casual and stuff like that. But they played like 5 or 6 of those. And one of them was a song I hadn't heard for whatever reason forever. And it kind of summarized my feeling about coming out here to Denver. And that is that I made it out without a bullet in my back, and that is the AC/DC classic, which we're going to kick off today's episode, Jailbreak.
There was a friend of mine on murder, and the judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty, gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here.
We'll be right back.
he was chasing. Spotlights! Sirens! Rifles! Firing! But he made it out! With a bullet in his back!
All right, so Bako, you have been writing a lot of articles recently before we go into the Fest deal for Decibel Geek, correct?
Kissmas in July.
That's right. And
well, it's my favorite band, so this is the month I really slam everything in there.
And you usually put out 3 or 4 articles, if I remember.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up with 4 this month.
That's awesome. So. And why don't you recap, how many have you done so far?
Well, I did a review of a new book called The Encyclopedia of Kiss, which is exactly what it is. It's an alphabetical list of things and places related to Kiss. So Kiss fans are going to love it. I don't get much out of it. It's a reference book, but you know that Kiss Alive Forever book, how many fucking guys on Kiss Facts have commented about how great that book is, and it's a book of lists.
Yeah, I don't get that whole thing where people say, like, hey,
it's a great book.
No, I don't get the whole thing where they say, like, oh, I've been to this town and I went to this place where they stood in front of a photo shoot in 1979 and they glanced to the left and like, oh my God, it was great. I took a picture of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I think some are more monumental than others, but for the most part, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but what's the next one? What's another article you did?
Well, it is the one about I ranked all the Kiss members, current and past, as far as their musical output outside of Kiss after being in Kiss.
Yeah, non-Kiss Kiss albums ranked, or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah. Yes, and it's pretty much an undisputable perfect ranking, and anybody who ever reads it would never disagree.
Yeah, nobody.
Other than the 10 people who have commented on it.
Yes.
One of Sinzak's friend called me a hack because I said... I basically referred to John Corabi and Bruce Kulick as C-listers.
Wow. Yeah, they are in the ranks of rock. I love them, but...
Oh, yeah, no, that's just where they are. Yeah. You know, I guess it maybe sounds like a cheap shot, so... But I have just whatever that guy's name, and I don't want to pull him up, but I have listened to the record.
Yes, well, here's the thing, is I have... realize, and by the way, I think that the internet is filled with lists. I don't think there's ever been a list put together of those albums. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, I guess I'm not aware of one either. It wouldn't really shock me though.
Yeah,
shock me.
Nice. But I finally figured out your writing style, which you've perfected over the years, and that is every article of yours is a 1,000 word lead up to a dick joke.
quite a legacy I'm leaving for my kids.
But with that said, that one has I think 5, and I was just dying laughing how you kept putting them in there over and over again. But highly entertaining read. I would definitely recommend our listeners go to decibelgeek.com and check it out. But
and if you do, go ahead and share your opinions too. It is just my opinion. I some people do take a little more serious, and I knew that going in. But for the most part, it's just what I think, and I'm having a little fun too.
Exactly. And what I did like about it though is that you are definitely not a nut swinger when it comes to albums coming out. I mean, there's definitely some critical views, which I agree with. One of them that I really agreed about is how you kind of threw all the Kulik albums together and gave it a six. That's what I would give it too. There's some great stuff on there and some things that I listened to after our groundbreaking Bruce Kulik interview last year. That go check it out in the archives. And I started...
Yeah, I think musically he has a lot of really he has a lot to offer. I think he'd be stronger working with a melody and a lyric writer and probably a singer. Yeah. You know, he's not the greatest singer in the world. He'd probably tell you that too. But there's a lot of really adventurous stuff on there. If you just like listening to some good guitar playing, and it really just shows you kind of how handcuffed he was when he was in Kiss at the beginning.
I think so too. A lot, but on Audio Dog, there's a ton of songs that sound like they were Gene Simmons. You know, like here's a song for writing for him. But anyway, going back to a recent one, the reason I talk about the Nut Swinger is I've heard a lot of people, a lot of podcasts talk about how great this Ace Frehley Origins album is.
Oh, God.
And you gave it a two, which is a perfect grade.
2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Not five.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like a 5-star deal. Yeah, 2 out of 10. And I think that was even pushing it. I mean, we're going
to... I did, too. I listened to it, I think, 3 or 4 times when I was reviewing it, and I haven't felt the urge to listen to any of it again.
No. And the biggest clusterfuck on that album is...
Rock and Roll Hell, right?
Oh, God. Yes. I mean, that pretty much summarizes why Ace should not have been on Creatures of the Night, and thank God he wasn't.
Yeah, that's I hadn't actually put it that way in my head. It is, all it did was make me want to listen to the Creatures of the Night version
immediately,
just to cleanse my brain palate, get that out of there. It sounds like a demo too. The whole that it's did you even go in and master this track? You know, it's just
sloppy. All of it's kind of sloppy, and there's really hardly any memorable solos. So, you know, I do want to feature something out of it. You know, you give it a two, so there's got to be one or two songs you dug. Which one do you want to feature?
Oh, what was one that had John 5 on it? Is that Parasite?
Yes, that's with the double solo where he does his kind of a variation.
So it's got that that extended solo is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
I think that was
pretty... If we got to play one, let's play that.
That's all I'm saying. I do think that one does sound pretty solid, and you can't really go wrong. I can hear versions of Parasite all day long, Anthrax's version, etc., and it's always kick-ass. So why don't you intro it?
Parasite, baby!
She thought she knew me, but she didn't know. right, Parasite off of Origins, Volume 1. Do you really think there's going to be a Volume 2?
Oh, dear God, I hope not.
What a lazy bastard, right?
Oh, yeah. God bless Ace, and look, he's entitled to do what he wants. At least I think at this point, if that's what he wants to do and he's having fun, go do it. I really don't care. But I'm not going to pretend I like it.
Have you seen, you've seen him live at least once or twice in the last couple of years, right? Since
yeah, yeah.
Any good?
No, not by Ace Frehley standards. No. The band sounds sloppy, mainly him, to be honest with you. But I thought bringing Richie Scarlett back was a great idea, and then I saw it, and I was just like...
He runs around like a clown.
Well, that's not so much the problem. The band just doesn't sound cohesive. Part of the deal is that, you know, they don't tour, you know what I mean? Like, bands, there's a lot of fly-in dates, and I don't know that they're really rehearsing a lot leading up to it, so...
I gotcha. Yeah, that reminds me, too. Of, you know, I saw another cover band lineup that I felt I needed to go to because it was exactly a mile away from my house and definitely Kiss related.
Jog?
Almost, yeah. So there was a lineup. Check this out. First off, there was a Motley Crue cover band called Hooligans Holiday.
Now, did they do Karabi era stuff?
Well, unfortunately, I was not able. The gigs started at like 7 and I could not get out of the house until like 9. So I missed that one, which I was really interested in seeing. But then there's two other cover bands, one called Circus, kind of like the magazine. And then there was another one with the greatest name I've ever heard, which I saw on another bill recently, too, opening for Slaughter, which I chose to not see because I didn't need...
Slaughter!
Yes, because I didn't want to see them play 8 songs as a headliner. And also the opening band was called Mr. Steak.
All right, what's Mr. Steak?
Mr. Steak is a band that plays all 80 songs because I think they thought it was clever that they named it Mr. Steak, which was a like a Ponderosa in the 80s. Do you remember Mr. Steak at all?
I don't.
Yeah, that's what it was. Maybe it was just in my fine town.
Sounds somewhat. Now that I hear the whole thing put together, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, but they are not good. They're not good at all. They wear wigs. They're kind of like a Steel Panther, except they just play, you know, covers and stuff. But anyway, so the point being is the headliner was, I'm going to read this to you because I want you to pronounce it. The headliner was Rockissity.
Rockissity?
Pronounced Rock City. Rockissity. Rockissity. You got that? Isn't that the worst fucking cover band name you've ever heard?
Yes.
Okay.
Are they a Kiss cover band?
Yes, they are. That's why I'm saying this is related after the A song. But, you know, I saw this. I'm like, okay. But they were... So, basically, they were on band time, which they were supposed to play at 10. I got there at 9. The second band was on. You know, it started at 7. So, you know, it's getting to 11:15. I had to go through two of those cover bands, not including Hooligans Holiday. And I was getting exhausted. I mean, Mr. Steak. I left. But basically, it's this place called Herman's Hideaway. And pretty small place. But there were some people dressed up, which I assume were the band, in full Kiss gear, okay? Either that or they were... Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen people dressed up as Kiss to see a Kiss cover band. No. Okay, so that's why I'm guessing that it was them or super fans. So I started, so I was really...
When you're done, I got something. I got to chime in on that. But let's finish you first.
Okay. So anyway, so I was, you know, I was bored as hell. This is another one that I just went to, like a lonely old man. And, you know, I went there and I was bored. So I started taking pictures of these guys dressed up in Kiss gear, like, you know, ordering a drink, which I posted on there. But one of them was that I was in the bathroom and right when I was leaving, the guy that was Gene Simmons walks into the bathroom. Okay. And, you know, I walk by him and I'm like, first off, he was 5'7".
Oh, I might have seen these guys on YouTube.
Okay, he's like 5'7", and that's with the boots. So he is.
Yeah, it's got to be the same
guy. The ace was a girl, okay? And anyway, so I leave there, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a funny picture. I'm going to take a picture of Gene Simmons leaving the bathroom because there's a big neon sign that just says men above it, you know? So I'm like, you know, just take some pictures like that, which will look pretty funny. So I'm sitting by the table near there. I wait 2 minutes. I wait 3 minutes. I wait 5 minutes. I'm like, I think Gene Simmons is taking a huge shit. I'm like, he is not coming out for a while.
It's going to be a lot of undressing.
I know all that leather and stuff like that.
What era costume?
Straining. I mean, I just imagine. But anyway, so I'm waiting and waiting. I'm not kidding you. 10 minutes go by. I'm like, this guy's fucking Superman. I'm like, he must have taken off his mat. He never came out. There's no hidden door back there. Gene Simmons went out into the bathroom, and it must have been like a fan and just said, I'm exhausted from wearing this makeup. But I never saw him come out, so he must have just changed his clothes.
Well, he could have been beamed up to the Enterprise or something.
I don't know. So you got anything else to say?
Oh, just real quick on that. You remember the KISS conventions in the 90s?
Of course.
The official ones? And most of them had a KISS cover band that would close the show. Okay. All right. At the KISS convention I went, in addition to the cover band that was booked, a local cover band came. Like they just like everybody else, paid $100 for each of their tickets.
Okay.
But they dressed up as a cover band. And then a few weeks later, in one of the local free newspapers that were a lot of bands, you know, when they're playing live, you know, but that band was called War Machine. It was like as seen at the KISS convention or something like that. Right. You know, they basically implied they were the band that played there, but like it was you just dressed up.
Yeah, no, it's a clown fest most of the time.
I appeared there too. Then I might as well put in all the Jesus Chrysler ads.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing. I see. They never even played. They just walked there. They're just walking around, right?
Right. Yeah. They were fans like everybody else.
But... hilarious. Yeah. It's. I used to go because you know I enjoy the train wreck and it looked like it was going to be one. And I will tell you, I couldn't make it. I actually went home. I didn't even see them play. So I don't know if they're the greatest KISS band or not. We're going to move on from yet another classic Cobras and Fire tangent where we did not stick to the theme of the show. And let's go back to it. Fests.
Festivals.
What's some of the bands you saw at Northern Invasion? Who'd you interview? Who'd you like?
Oh, man. You know, I thought it was a weaker lineup than last year. And even if I condensed it to like just my, you know, and it was over 2 days and three stages. So that's saying something, if you ask me. But I saw Rob Zombie was always a lot of fun to watch live.
Sure.
Disturbed was the second day headliner, and I don't know if you like it, they're fine. Yeah. I guess that's my way of saying I don't like it. Blackstone Cherry was really solid. Surprisingly, I really didn't think I'd get dig them as much as
they're
I did.
Live, the drummer's like Animal from the Muppets, right?
Yeah. So yeah, they were great, and then. As you know, my three highlights were Monster Truck, Glorious Sons, and Red Sun Rising. Three fairly new bands, two from Canada.
Yep.
The Great White North, as I like to call
it.
And it was just amazing. I also saw Ghost for, I think, a third time, and they're always fun. A band called Avatar, I enjoyed the show. I wouldn't say the music so much, but the singer is
a clown.
He's got a huge accent, and he's alarmingly aware of how it comes across, almost like
yes,
Ghost,
yes.
Very much too. Where they know that there's a like they almost sell the accent as part of the show. They were just real quick. One of the funny things when they ended, he's like he kept calling us Wisconsin all during the whole show, right? And then at the very end, they're doing that thing, like thank you, Wisconsin. I love you, Wisconsin. Man, I really hope this is Wisconsin. You know, kind of like a band on tour.
Yeah, like the Spinal Tap thing.
Metal. I watched them dance to play, and I'm referring to the musicians. I had a debate with two people who were not in a state to argue with what my ears were hearing. But almost anybody with any attention span and wasn't inebriated could clearly see that this everything you were hearing was, you know, piped in.
For Avatar?
No, for Baby Metal.
Oh, God. Yes.
So the singer had a live mic, but the two other girls did not. So she might have been singing some of the time. And the drummer was hitting his drums. I love how people always act like because of that you're hearing. But no, everything was pre-recorded.
So you did. I think I already knew that. You were shocked. You thought they were actually going to play their stuff, right?
Yeah, I thought that there was an actual band and that the girls up front were kind of the gimmick. But the whole thing's a fucking sham. And they, of course, didn't want photographers. I had no photography privileges for the pit for them. And now I know why.
Yes.
Because you don't want to get too close and see that some of the times I'm not even hitting the strings. So.
No, that's and also a band that I at least think is a gimmick is the Butcher Babies.
Yeah, I didn't get to see them because who were they playing at the same time of? Oh, Ghost. And I was like, I had to choose between the two of them.
That's very easy.
Yeah, it really was because I like Ghost. I actually enjoy their music and the show. But I did kind of want to see the Butcher Babies. I got to interview them, so it really would have been decent. Plus, you know, they do kind of, there's a visual element with the tits and ass and stuff.
Oh, of course,
so.
Yeah. Attractive ladies, but the music just sounds like, to me, it's just noise.
It's like, I don't know, it's like a screamo punk thrash thing. I don't know. Whatever. Overall, it was fun. I kind of prefer these things kept to one day.
Oh, that's the whole thing. Like I told you. I told you it was going to be 2 days this year, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's what they do. Next year it'll be three. Or at least half a day. They'll stretch it out. They take the same lineup, even though it might even be weaker, and they stretch it out. They capture you in there. They sell you your $8 beers and your $10 hot dogs or whatever the fuck, and they just milk you it with a schedule that...
And they also cut some corners on porta-potties. The bathroom situation was horrendous. And I'd been to a lot of shows at this thing, and it was amazing, like, how, like, when bands were playing, how hard it was to get into. Like, fortunately, we had, with the press passes, we got to use the VIP toilets, so they was kind of in and out. But
I always liked the VIP toilets. Pay extra to have a special pisser. Anyway, so why don't you kind of break down, and we've ranted on the previous episodes about my feeling about how they just stretch these out with questionable bands. There are definitely some other bands they could put on there, but they said the same. Did you have to go through Seether? Was Seether one of the bands still there?
Oh, yeah. Seether was there. I've seen them, I think, twice before.
Yes.
And I don't know. Maybe they need a couple more musicians to fill it out, but they always sound like shit.
Oh, yeah.
And them and Chevelle.
Oh, God.
I've seen Chevelle like three times.
Okay.
And it's just like, I don't mind the music when I hear it on the radio, but when I see them live, it's like, do you guys have a sound guy? Do you rehearse? I don't understand. I can't even put my finger on it, what it is that's off, but it doesn't sound clear or concise. It's like they're using a different PA.
No, Chevelle. Chevelle, I would like to interview them to just, they're always... in the way for me before like a headliner at fests. There's one coming up. I would just like to interview and say like, how does it feel to take every kind of fest to a grinding fucking halt right before the headliner shows up?
Shit.
I mean, they are so boring lives that I don't even like the music to begin with. But
that's kind of what I thought I was going to get with Blackstone Cherry. So thankfully, they were a little refresher for me.
It's a completely different style too. But anyway, so let's move on to bands that you like.
All right, well, let's. I gotta probably talk about the record and the band that I've been listening to the most in the last couple months since Northern Invasion, and that's the Gloria Sons. And I had a chance to talk to them a little bit, and the singer, when I was talking to him, he was drinking, and it was clear that he was starting to feel the effects of alcohol, you know what I mean?
Sure.
He wasn't hammered, and he was not incoherent or stammering, but they didn't play for another couple hours. And when I did see him, things had changed. And he still killed it. His physical movements were
questionable,
somewhat affected by his ability to walk across the stage, but, you know, if by the alcohol, I'm saying. But, yeah, and he busted his mic stand. He tipped over his drink in the process.
Good Lord.
And at no point did he not sound awesome, though. I mean, I think he's got a very natural, raw talent, both as a songwriter and as a singer. And that album, The Union, is fucking amazing. If you like hard rock, now it's not metal really. It's got almost a southern rock feel.
It's
to
a classic
it.
Sound.
But it is, the record is so good. The songs are so fucking good. And if you buy it on iTunes, you get a song called Sometimes on a Sunday, which is a very outside the box for them, actually. I was surprised that was, you know, kind of in the same loop. But it's a pretty cool tune, too.
No.
That said, yeah. What do you – any comments?
No, I like it. That was one of the bands that, you know, I just heard, and it just sounded like a band that had been around, you know, forever in a good way, you know? They just sound like a classic rock band. And it's definitely not – it's not metal. It's hard rock. It's just classic rock, pretty much. And I like it a lot. In fact, I'm trying to think of I know which song you want to feature, but I'm trying to think of a song that I swear I don't know if it's a cover or not, but it's so great. I think it's Mama.
Yeah, it's not a cover.
Oh,
Mama.
But does that
down by the river? Yeah, it feels like it's been written.
Like it's been written by like CCR or something like that, like back in the day.
The Union's a great song. Yep. I've got Lightning.
That's awesome too. The whole thing's the good. It flows.
When I put the record on, I play the whole thing.
So do I.
Now the song I'm about to feature, I'll tell you this though. When I downloaded the record the night before Northern Invasion, there was a few bands I said, well, these are the newer ones I've been hearing good things about. So I grabbed a bunch of them and just threw it on. And when this song came on, it's like it got to the chorus, and all of a sudden I just stopped what I was doing, went back, restarted the song, and I've fucking played this song probably 200 times in the last month and a half. I can't get enough of it. It's amazing how simple and mind-blowingly better it is than so much stuff out there. And the fact that it's not just dominating radio right now is kind of frustrating.
Ridiculous. Yeah. No, I what is the song's name?
The song is called Heavy.
Call me heavy or don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all.
I will put you down for king and for country. I will put you
All right, again, that was Gloria Sons with Heavy off the album Union.
I'll take it down.
But anyway, so...
He's not talking about panties, ladies.
Hey now, so why don't you take it? What do you want to talk about next?
Well, you have a festival coming up there in the Rocky Mountain area there, don't you?
I do. Thanks to you and working with connections that you've had with Northern Invasion, I'm going to the first ever High Elevation Fest, which is this September.
It's the first, huh?
Yes, as far as I know.
It'll be 2 days next year.
Yes, it will. And it's at this place called the Fiddler's Green Amphitheater. Again, 10 minutes. It's a damn
right
anomaly.
On.
It's everything is 10 minutes away from me. But, you know, so I'm going to, you know, I got the hookup. I'll be in the photo pit and whatnot. And the lineup is, on this one, definitely questionable. The bands that I do want to see are Shaman's Harvest, Texas Hippie Coalition, and as well as, of course, the great Volbeat, which we'll definitely talk about later. But, you know, it's suspect. Like, I don't know. Another one of these bands that I'm on is the headliner is Avenged Sevenfold, which they're okay.
Yeah.
They keep showing up on all these things, and actually Volbeat is touring with them as the opener for them.
Metallica!
Well, then there's that, too. There's the Viking Stadium.
Oh, yeah, I thought that's where you're going with it. Yeah. I don't know if you heard, we have a new stadium here in the Twin
Cities. I have, and what's the first band to play there?
Luke Bryan.
Is it? I thought it was the other one. No?
Yeah, he's on the night before Metallica and Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm doing that's my Luke Bryan impersonation, people.
It's spot on. It could be any country singer. But, you know, yeah, that one is Volbeat, Avenged, Metallica. And they're actually touring together. At this point, I think the Volbeat should be co-headlining with them and not opening. But, I mean, their album, Out the Gate, 50,000 copies, correct? Number four. I think it ranked, which is a great sign.
You know, if they would have done it like a week earlier, it would have been number one.
Yes, and you know, but I'm going to feature. We'll talk about Volbeat in a bit, but
yeah.
But as far as the band I'm going to feature next, that is
one of your favorites, right?
It is in the last couple of years, and that's Shaman's Harvest, which I would put down as a band with a silly name, but a great band. I have no idea. It's either I've heard it Shaman. I've heard it Shaman, and actually I heard it both ways. That I just saw them last week, actually. But
it's actually Shaman.
It's the third version, yeah. But yeah, man, I just saw us
Shaman.
Yeah. So I saw them about 4 years ago at Rock on the Range, and then again, I mean, they were great then, but now the fact that they have all this great material from their last album, which is. Oh, God. Broken Guns and Smoking Hearts, or Smoking Hearts and Broken Guns. I always screw it up, but it's a great album. Definitely recommend seeing them. I can't wait to see them again in a couple months. But I am going to feature the leadoff track from their last album. But do you have anything to say about them as well?
I'm not quite as familiar as you. You've exposed me to a couple of their songs, and they're quite good. I should probably dig back into it because I got a feeling it's worth it. So.
Yeah, I think it's along the same lines as kind of the Gloria Sons, Monster Truck, that kind of zone. But here is the kickoff track from that album called Dangerous.
And that makes me dangerous. Can
All right, Baka, won't we talk about a band that's at many of the fests that you're going to this summer, as well as you saw them recently, I believe, in their own show with Wilson.
Oh, that's right. They're at Rock USA, too.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, Seether.
No, not Seether.
Not what we're talking
about. We're not
about.
Talking about Seether. No, ever.
If you would have heard us out, well, on the part we were talking about leading into this, you would have got that. Loose Cannon hates Seether. Shinedown, of
yes,
course.
Yes.
One of the once in a generation singers, I believe, as I call him.
Yes.
Brent Smith. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're a good band. We've talked about them in the past, but they've kind of lightened up a bit.
Very much so. But so I definitely like their older stuff, not their last two albums. But yeah, like, tell me kind of about the experience you had with their show when they played with Wilson, and then when you saw them in Northern Invasion, and obviously you're going to see them a third time within 12 months, which is crazy. But but go ahead.
Yeah, they were at the Myth here locally with Will. I went mainly because I wanted to see Wilson
right.
again. But you know, they're a good band, so I stuck around. I hadn't seen them prior to that. And the first four songs were pretty good, but then the show had a weight to it. It felt like, just wrap it up. I want to go home. You know, I mean, it was almost like you were talking about with those cover bands. And
yeah.
The singer just wasn't really into it. And he sounded phenomenal. Performance-wise, I had no issues. It just lacked any volatility or energy, or you know, just. And so I expected the same thing at Northern Invasion. It was pretty much the opposite. He was engaged. He was smiling. He was moving around. So I don't know if he was sick or something. You know, when I saw him the first time, maybe he was just powering through a bad night. But it was a much better show, and it was, you know, a shorter set, which I'm okay with.
Sure.
But. But they were great, and now I'm kind of back on the Shinedown might be all right. So
cool. Yeah, and you can examine them coming up here soon as well. It's just I don't think I've ever seen a band three times in a year. That's just kind of funny.
I saw Wilson three times in about 2.5 months.
Oh yeah, okay.
I heard about them from Bulbaflex,
right,
as you know.
By the way, real quick segue on that. Spectacular interview. The last episode.
Oh.
Great interview.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and we did get a great response to that. Just to mention that, anytime we interview somebody, we always want to give them their proper respect, just like we did with the Bruce Kulick interview, and that is to send out a press release. And what was the headline we came up with for the press release?
The headline, Bulbaflex singer supports remaking Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park with current lineup.
Yes. Correct. Because, you know, as you do, you sign up for these newsletters, and how many of these emails do you even open when you see the headline?
Oh, almost none. Like Doro has new lyric video. Great.
Thank you.
And that's most of the bands are not even that known.
No.
And right now people listening are going, who's Doro?
But yeah, I mean, they're always boring, like that they're just generic, you know, PR fodder. So we decided to spice it up, and it got picked up by Brave Words and a couple other sites, and we got some great traffic on it. So word to the wise.
And you should really take more credit for this, Luce. That was a brilliant move on your part.
What, as far as the press release?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but that was your call to go with that as the headline for the press release, because then Brave Words picked it up and ran that exact headline.
And the best part is they didn't feature anything about Bulbaflex. They just said pictures.
And the
actual, I think the entire movie streaming on YouTube, and it's like, oh, by the way, but I wonder.
Well, and then we had some people that actually listened to the whole episode and that commented that they are now kind of on a Bulbaflex bandwagon. So I'm glad we at least exposed their music to some. But if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to go back, because it's a pretty fun interview. We don't get into a lot of the typical shit. But just to summarize, this is I'll do the whole conversation. For those who don't know, that's my idea. I want Kiss, as they currently are, to remake it, but I want it to be intentionally funny. And I want them to have like Peter Criss do Eric Singer's voice, those kind of things. But you know, and they'll never do it, because none of those guys even have a sense of humor. But we were talking about cheesy movies, and I asked, well, do you like Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park? And he says, yep. And I'm like, I think they should remake it with the Kurt Band. And he's like, so do I. That is the entire conversation. We didn't get into it at all.
No, so it's kind of like a little bit of a bait and switch, I guess. I don't think so, because it kind of gave the idea about how the interview was going to go, which is just a bunch of ridiculous questions. But
no, it really is. And it was a fun – and yeah, thanks, Sean. Yeah. Thanks to the whole Bulbaflex family for being so cool.
And we plan on adding more interviews coming up here hopefully soon with some of the contacts for coming up here, some fests. So anyway, we're not going to feature any Bulbaflex, because that entire episode is –
damn, you played their entire catalog.
That's right. But anyway, so why don't we move on to –
we were talking Shinedown. Didn't you want to play a Shinedown
song?
I do,
yeah. Let's play one that I know you have some aversion to, because of the fact that it involves the word boom, because you do like that one Blackstone Cherry song, Boom, right? The Blame It on the Boom Boom, yeah?
Blame It on the Boom Boom, yeah. There probably is not a better song to turn off.
So I figured I'd throw this one at you, and we could...
A little trivia on this song, though. Did you know that that lyric is from a Congo poem of some sort? And it was Sylvester Stallone who commissioned Shinedown to write the song and insisted that boom lay, boom lay, boom be in the song.
I did not, but back it up. It's what? What were you saying again before the Stallone part?
Oh, it's some, I don't know, Congo, a poem by somebody from the Congo region of Africa. If I get deeper, I'm going to sound even dumber than what I did.
Oh, wait, that's right. This was on the soundtrack for The Expendables, right?
Yeah, two or three. But
okay, got it. So here's Shinedown before they got really crazy-ass modern and turned back the guitars and everything like that. Here is Diamond Eyes.
Shadow and the smoke in your eyes. I am the ghost that hides in the night. We
fight. The story is just beginning. I say goodbye to my weakness, so long to regret.
Baco, I'm going to throw it back to you now as far as another band that you interviewed, I assume, one of your picks.
Yeah, I talked to the guitar player Jeremy from Monster Truck. That interview is available on Decibel Geek YouTube. I had some technical difficulties, so a lot of these things that we're talking about you can't even see. But that one is quite fun as well. It's only about 5 minutes, and we almost only talk about hockey. So,
all right.
Towards the end, we mentioned the band.
Yes. So anyway, they were great live, yes?
They were incredible. I mean, just like the other two that we talked about, Red Sun and the Glorious Sons, we'll call them the Sons, a band that I really want to come back through, and like now I want to see kind of a full set, now that I got kind of a sampling size on the third stage over at Northern Invasion. But yeah, there's a song off the new record, Sitting Heavy. The whole record's really solid, by the way. But I love the song "The Enforcer," and if it's all right with you, Lewis, I'd really like to play it right now.
You definitely can. We featured them on a previous Double Shots episode where we played the first track, "Why Aren't You Rocking?"
That's a great song.
Yes.
Rock and roll gonna save my
That's
life.
Right. It's kind of like "Ladies and Gentlemen" from like Cheap Trick or whatever, Sergeant Pepper. It's just that,
Psycho Circus.
Yeah, any of those. Kind of like just a kickoff. Did they start the set off with that, I assume?
They did.
That's what I figured. And then, of course, the spectacular Show Me How to Live, or Don't Tell Me How to Live. And so you want to play The Enforcer?
I do.
Here it is.
Remember, and on it goes, someone begs for a broken nose.
All right, I think that's enough new rock for this episode. And
are you sweaty, Luce?
I am. I'm sweating.
I'm rock sweaty.
Rock sweaty. And I think we're going to wrap this up and then turn this into a two-parter as usual. So
yeah,
we'll keep talking about some of these fest bands, new music from bands on tour this summer. And you want to add anything else?
Yeah, you know what? Don't forget to swing by Facebook and click like on our page. Share us, share the podcast if you could. You can find it for free on iTunes and SoundCloud. Is there anywhere else? I mean, shit, you Google Cobras and Fire podcast.
You won't find anything else. You won't find anything else with that stupid of a name. So it'll pop right up.
And go to a music festival, you know, small or big. Just get out there and spend a little money on some music. So help keep people... that give us this music a way to make a house payment, you know.
Exactly. And don't sleep on the early bands. You'll discover some stuff like we're featuring on the show here. So, all right.
Yeah, if anything, do the opposite. Leave during...
Exactly. Actually, that's what I usually do. The headliner, I usually give zero fucks about, and I just leave. So yeah. It's good for the old men like we are. But all right, till next time, everyone.
Bye-bye.
What up, y'all? I'm DJ Super Soap.
And I'm Lil Blaster. And we're bringing you amazing happenings for the super dope
10th annual Kickspin Underground Rock Festival.
You want fans? Your ears will bleed. We've got Rat Ball, Slit, Thurder Sex, DJ Doosgrove, Mrs. Potato Dick, and more.
This most underground festival ever. No water bottles, no protection from the sun, and absolutely no port-a-john.
We didn't sell out and get you a bunch of port-a-johns, yo.
You want bathrooms? Oh, we've got bathrooms. They're called your pants.
Underground enough for you.
Aw, yeah. And don't forget the mud-eating contest.
Try to dethrone last year's mud-eating champ, Ass Dan.
Everywhere you look, Mad Crunk's gonna be popping off.
We got loose alligators up in there.
Chomp on some stick meat.
Come have sex with the Iron Sheik.
And did we mention bands?
There's gonna be Donkey Cross. Good. And don't miss a very special encore performance by Mrs. Potato Dick.
They my boys, always spraying the crowd with cat piss.
Ha ha, hell yeah. So many fun events, and you know you gotta get in the worst He-Man impression contest.
Just look out for last year's champ, Ass Dan.
For sure. And if that wasn't enough for you ninjas, we got a mad list of special guests, yo.
Like Mark Furman from the OJ Tribe.
The Mac Guy, Justin Long.
Snapple Lady.
Turtle from Entourage.
Miss Screw Magazine, 1997.
An NBA All-Star, Dirk Nowitzki, shoots a BB gun at you in an open field.
You wanna get sick as hell?
Helicopters gonna spray your ass with viruses, yo!
Viruses!
And there's more! Like a full screening of Parks and Rec Season 3.
Plus, we got a bunch of ventriloquists walking around on stilts.
And their dummies got tiny stilts, yo!
And you know we got mimes running all around this bitch!
And here's the best part!
Everybody gets big forks.
Everybody's gonna be running around mad! Don't miss a very special memorial service for Ass Dan.
So get your tickets now, ninjas, for the 10th annual Kickspin Underground Rock Festival.
And get ready to be truly underground.
Kickspin Underground Rock Festival. See you ninjas there.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.